shortly before we did start, and before Solid Ground, God started Solid Ground, and they were kind of like the spearhead. They passed on so much help and information. They've always been a huge help and encouragement. But what strikes me about this couple and their walk with God is they are people of incredible faith. And I've chatted to Ross a lot through the years of COVID, through all the challenges to the church. And I don't think I've ever heard this man complain. And Elmarie is the same. They have incredible faith and possibility of what God can do. Always seeing the possibility. So it's been a huge encouragement to me. Incredible faith, incredible perseverance. And I think, I'm sure you guys will tell us a bit more about your family and your church, but it's such a blessing, guys, to have you with us today. And we trust in God for what He's going to speak to us through you. We know God speaks to you and uses you, so over to you.
Thanks, guys. I think Bruce and myself are the only people in the world who can be in a 4-hour layover and still miss our flight. And then spend a night together in a cheap hotel, airport hotel. So we had like good quality time together. So that was good. Yeah, so just so way of introduction, that's our family up there. That's Abigail, our youngest, and she just got married, and she now lives in Christchurch, and her husband's name is Jesse, and that's Nicole, that's our special needs daughter, and then of course my lovely wife, Elmarie. Alrighty, and she's been enduring me for 30 years, and so that's great. So what's your name?
Shane.
Shane. Great. We're going to be doing ministry together this morning. You and me. Okay. Right. Pray for him. Right. So okay. For the next slide. And so if you can play that clip for us, please. And then there's this North Coast Church we planted, and we just did a community day, and we invited the community in, and we put jumping castles up and so on. We just connect with the life of the church, and as we're meeting currently in Chilton Park. And God's given us incredible vision of one city at a time. And so, we started Chilton Park, where God opens the door. And so, faith steps at a time, as we shared, that we prayed for a Maori couple, and God sees this incredible Maori couple. And so, we kick-starting something in Wainui, and it's a bit of a seed at the moment, early days, but if you can pray for us. And so, yeah, it's an exciting journey. And so if we could go to the next slide, which is faith. Sorry, you can see I'm like moving close here. All right. And so when we, I don't know about you. Let me just pause there. If I get loud, or when I just get excited, I'm not angry. Okay. All right. So I don't know about you, but when I say I believe in Jesus to someone, what they hear is it's your life philosophy. And would you agree with that? You know, people are like, that's your life philosophy, your truth, my truth, all that stuff. But does it really mean, or how important is it to understand faith? And I don't know about you, but I really wrestled with faith in a sense. I knew what to say for that, but to get a handle on faith, what does it really mean? And it took me a while to go through it. And so I'd love to share what I believe God's revealed to me over the years. And so I'm trusting that it will bless you too. So remember when Jesus walked on the water? And so this thing, you see, I'm racing with this thing. Remember when Jesus walked in the water? Who remembers that story? Okay, so let's just go through that story. So Jesus says to these disciples, okay, you guys go. And he's praying. I'll meet up with you. Interesting, they never asked how. But okay, all right. And we know they were Nauruan. Remember, these guys, they grew up in that area. They were fishermen. They knew that territory. And so now they find themselves in the middle and of wherever they were at. And so storms, the rain, they're giving it their best, they're putting it back into it, and waves and all that. And next thing, they see Jesus. And oh, there's a ghost, which is relax, it's me. And then what happens next? Peter says, if it's you, command me to come to you. And so he, Jesus, come. Gets in the water. We know the story, what happened next. The waves, the wind, and he starts sinking. And then Jesus rescues him, isn't it? And what did Jesus say to him? You of little faith. Why did you doubt? And so, you know, isn't that life a bit? We want to rescue, we run from one side to the other. We're putting our back into it. And if you live long enough, you know there's wind and waves. I mean, we all want the wind to blow us from the back end. You know, we just want a nice life. You know, don't rock the boat kind of thing. But that's not life, isn't it? We hit, the waves hit us, and we keep putting our back into it. And then we see Jesus. And that's the amazing thing, is that we need to see Jesus for who he really is. He's not Father Christmas. He's not some ghost. He's not, you know, he is the creator of the universe. And we need to see him for who he really is. And we have to go, Lord, if it's really you, would you command me to come to you? And he says, come. And then with salvation, it's like walking on water. And we walk into this life in a sense. But then the wind and the waves. And sometimes our faith sinks a bit, isn't it? We find ourselves like, yes, but Lord, save me. And he rescues us and he says, are you of little faith? And so today we're going to be talking around that. How we live life. But what do we learn from this whole story? Faith matters. Faith really matters. Because at that moment, Jesus didn't say, hey, why don't you navigate the waves better? Or can't you see? Or, you know, whatever the story was. You walk faster, walk slower. You know, all these techniques, no. He said, you have little faith. The thing that Jesus addresses is Peter's faith. So the first thing is, faith matters. And then the second thing is, if he says, you are little faith, means that there's a scale of faith. Yes. Little faith, okay, I've never seen in the Bible, well, the centurion, Jesus was impressed with the God's faith. When the centurion said, don't come to my house, just speak the word, you know, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus went, wow, I have not found such faith in the whole of Israel. And so you can see that faith matters in our lives and everywhere. So I used to have a business, or we used to have a business. It was injection molding, running 24/7. We were hammered. And we were part of the church at that time. And the guy who we're still friends with today, at that time, back then, preached this. And he said, what do you do that holds eternal value? It stuck with in my mind. Couldn't get rid of it. What do you do that holds eternal value? What do you do that holds eternal value? I remember, even to today, where I stood, I looked at the plant, and it was humming. It was finally making money. And I thought to myself, I'm making money, so what? Where's the turn of value? And believe me, if you're a businessman, you're making money, God bless you. Nothing wrong with it. But what do we do that holds eternal value? You see, faith matters. Doesn't matter where you are in the world or where you find yourself from young or old. Faith matters. And so we will be going through that now. And so, if you can go, yep, there we go. Well done. Jeez, you're on the ball. Alrighty, so let's read 1 Thessalonians together. It says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith. Faith matters. And labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and full of conviction, you know what kind of being we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So that you, solid ground, became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Acacia. And that area, right, Macedonia and Acacia, is as big as the North Island. I looked it up. And for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, okay, in Macedonia and Acacia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. Everywhere. Your faith gone forth everywhere. Faith matters. So that we need not to say anything. Isn't that what we desire? That whatever we do in life, business, work, school, whatever, faith matters. And so, in my journey, and I don't know about you, this has been a journey of one, understanding what faith is, but also to grow in my capacity of faith. Okay? And we'll navigate that as well. So what is faith? The next slide, I was a bit reluctant to put in because it's got the capacity to suck the oxygen out of the air, out of the room. And so let's say, what is faith not? Because sometimes people confuse stuff, all right? So what is faith not? Faith doesn't mean that you're highly... Okay, let me put it this way. Faith doesn't originate from being highly motivated. So if I go here, guys, we can do it, we can go this, and you know, you're the man, and all that stuff, and people go, yeah, we all run out of here, kind of thing. And by Tuesday, it's like hot air, and it dissipates. But we allow God to make a deposit of faith in us. That faith in us causes us to be motivated. I remember we were full-time. And at one point, from business to being full-time, at one point, I struggled to get out of the bed in the mornings. Zero motivation. I felt guilty because I'm getting paid by the church and I don't have zero motivation. So I spent some time with the Lord. So Lord, speak to me. God said to me, playing on team, yeah, but you're playing the wrong position. Speak to him. It's like you'll pioneer churches and sites. But yeah, did that. Man, it's like the lights came on. all of a sudden purpose, all of a sudden I couldn't wait to get stuff. You know, I got irritated by holidays. When they said, no, next week holiday. What? I don't have time for holidays. We've got stuff to do. You see, when God makes a deposit in our hearts, and that faith in our hearts gives us purpose, from your age to whatever other age. I don't want to point to anyone else. Okay? I'm just saying, you know, to my age. Anyway, so, this is how it can be, you see. Anyway, so, the point is that God makes the deposit in our hearts and we motivate. All right, so the next one is courage. And let me just say your pain, because these are the errors I've made. I'm like, okay, courage. I'm gonna, like David and Goliath. I'm gonna slay this Goliath. Go ahead, babe. And God just goes, well, you go for it. I'm not doing it. But hey, when you got your heart, you come back with your tail between your legs. Let me know when you're done, Ross. It has to be from God. Courage is not good enough. But when it originates from faith, and God places the faith in our hearts, then yes, we have courage to share the gospel, to disciple people. Matthew 28, go into the world and make disciples. What God has called this church to, so that your faith are known, not just in this area, but the whole of the North Island, and then everywhere, the South Island, and wherever else. God uses courage. And the last one is presumption. Faith doesn't originate from presumption. Okay, guys, we're going to do this. And again, remember that story? The Israelites, they arrived out of the desert at the Promised Land. Hello, here we are. Send up the scouts, and the scouts, and oh, these scouts are so big, and this and that, we can't do this, and all that stuff. And then God says, okay, back. You still have Egypt in you. No. And then they go and attack some little town, whatever it is, and they got Peter, and the Bible says they were like a swarm of bees running down the hill. Presumption. And so, it started with faith. Okay, you're all with me still. Okay, now we're going to talk about faith, because this is what we need in our lives. All right, to do what God has called each one of us. Can I just say, you know that you are called? Each one of you. From this age to this age. All right? To believe it. Because you have to believe. Because in that is life. So like what me, Ross, you know all that? You know stuff I've done? I'm tired, just leave me alone. No! No! God's got a plan for each person. And it looks different. It's wonderful. And so let's go to the next slide. So what is faith? It's trust in his, the first thing about faith is to trust in his character. Again, the Israelites, they come out of Egypt, and they come to a place called Meribah. There's no water. And they throw their coins. And they have a hissy fit. The God bring us out of Egypt to die in our thirst. You know, where is God? And Moses said, whoa. Don't test God. Don't test God. And then God says, okay, Moses, put up your staff, hit the rock, and the water flows out. You know that, I think there are three places in the Bible that refers to that moment. One in Exodus, one in Psalm 95, and one in Hebrews 3. Has to be significant. To don't test God. Why was it so significant? Because they came out of Egypt. Remember all the miracles they saw? All the stuff, all the, you know, the famines, and you know, they saw the power of God. And now they arrive at this place. And like, where's God now? They knew he can, but would he? Will he? And so with us, especially Christian, we go, I know God can, but will he? And right there is the question, is he really good? Unfortunately, that's called unbelief. So first of all, is to believe. I know he can, but I know that he's good. His character is good. Can you see faith really matters? All right. So we know that he's good, and we know he's able. And so, let's start. Next slide. It says, so there are three there. Saving faith. The second one?
Transforming.
And there's the teacher. Transforming faith. And the last one? Roll up your sleeve. Okay, so of course, it starts by saving faith, meaning that when I give my life to Christ, you know, Nicky Gumbel and Alpha, he says, if you go, it's true. When someone hears the gospel and they go, it's true, the lights go on, okay, and the Bible says it's so powerful that someone is born again. God breathes life into them. And so that is saving faith. Let me just say, for us here, the church, the saints, God calls all of us to disciple people.
Very good.
Every one of us. That's the core job of the church, we can call it that way, is to disciple people. Go and make disciples. Preach the gospel. And disciple people. And that's what we, as a church, this bigger church, has to have faith for. That people will be saved. Can I ask you, do you pray for people to be saved? Do you pray? So Lord, I pray. Pray for these people to be saved. Every time I drive towards Redditor, Lord, I pray for the city. I pray for people to be saved. When you drive in your town, Lord, I pray for these houses. I pray for people to be saved. Lord, give me an opportunity to speak to someone. Give me a divine opportunity, Lord. I can't kick the door down. I can't shove it down their throats. But Lord, I pray for your divine appointment. Would you pray that? Because if you pray, you believe. If you don't believe, what's the purpose of prayer? Does it make sense? All right. So the next two, if you're going to go back one slide, then, thanks. Transforming faith and right over sleep faith. Look, these are my titles, by the way. All right? You can fancier stuff, all that, but these are making sense. They're not necessarily in progression. Why is that important? Because the devil goes and he says, Ross, you are not good enough. Shut up and sit down. I told you good enough. And then you can see your faith.
Sure.
He wants us to be muted. But number two and number three are actually interconnected. Because God transforms me. And he gives me a burden for the lost. And as he gives me a burden for the lost, the Lord, help me to step out. All right? And there's a roll up of sleep faith. And Lord, I'm not sure how, Lord. And so it causes me to push deeper into God. And he transforms me because, you know, I don't know how to do this stuff. And then when I step out, I see a bigger picture of God. And it causes me to believe more. And because there's more, I'm transformed more. Can you see that faith matters? Faith really matters. May I ask you? What do you have faith for? I just want to survive. I just want to, you know what? good life. What holds eternal value? What do we do? There are some men in this world that inspires me. They're in their 80s. Man, they're running the race. They till their last breath, they'll be sharing the gospel or mentoring or discipling or whatever they can do for the kingdom of God. What do you have faith for? And God has a calling on each of us. Each one. The question is, do you believe? Do you hear the call, Ross, to come? Would you step out of the water? Would you come? I don't know. I'm not a water walker. I don't know what you call it. I'm not. It's beyond me. Exactly. Exactly. Because then only God can get the glory. So what do we have faith for? So transforming faith, can I just say, is when you bow your knee to God. When you, your life is no longer your own. So we started a business, and the business that finally made money. First month, we made profit. Second month, we made profit. Third, we made profit. Fourth, loss. Fifth, loss. Sixth, loss. Kept going like this. So all the profits we had, like, out the door. Convinced by business partners, we had to buy another machine, really expensive. Okay? And then one of the operators earths a live wire onto the machine and cooks the computer. Alright? And in that moment, our daughter had to go for heart op. And the specialist had his hand on the phone. He said, listen, we need to book off her. Are we doing this? It meant a deposit of 10% of the house. Okay? That's the value, which I didn't have. Making losses on one side, versus machine got cooked, and now my daughter is going for heart operation. Okay? And so, I remember again where I walked. You know those moments in life that were so significant? I was saved. Yeah. I said to the Lord, God, I give you my life. I felt the pressure of God upon my life. And it's as if God had to get me. I was stubborn enough that God had to get me to bow my knee before Him. So let me just say, let me spare you a lot of pain. Bend your knee quickly. Because time is on His side. He has infinite power to apply pressure. And He'll use whatever for us to bow His knee before. And so that we all have areas in our lives that we don't really want to submit or acknowledge that needs to be submitted. But would you say, Lord, I believe you? Because fundamentally, if we don't give over our lives or an area of our life, we don't believe it. I want to be in control of my life. I'm in charge. Ross, would you come? Would you walk on water? Can you see faith in us? So the last one is transforming faith.
Roll
up your sleeve, faith. Thank you. Thanks, love. It's because we believe my life is no longer His. It's for Him. And so let's read 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. Because our gospel carries you not only in word, but also in power of the Holy Spirit and full of conviction. And you all know what kind of men we prove to be among you. your sake and that salvation. So I have to skip my notes here now. Let's go to let's go to Galatians 2 verse 20. That's still in the transformation. That's the problem when you don't follow your notes. Alright. Galatians 2 verse 20. There we go. So I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by
faith
in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you see again? Faith matters. And faith essentially is, I know he's able, Christ done the work for us on the cross, and he's good. And whatever happens in this world, God loves me. So, let's go to Matthew 17, verse 20. And this is when it says, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to a mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And so, you know, we go, if you are anything like this, Lord, I can't do this. And God says, will you just offer a little bit of faith you've got and see what I can do? Remember that story where Jesus were staying, watching how much people were getting? Remember that story? Imagine this morning, as the basket bringer, Jesus would go, is that how much you think? Yeah, no problems with that. And the widow threw in a couple of pennies. Thank you. She threw in the last. Because all she had, she gave. And the same principle with our faith is that little bit of faith we've got, and we give all we have. God says, you're giving all you have. And God moves mountains. So what is God calling you to? What is God calling this church to? Because let me say, Micah Thessalonians, is that let your faith be known in this area. I don't know about you, but I would like for people to think, or not about their perception, but let people say they got lots of faith instead of, you know what, those guys are dead. And life comes by believing God. And God uses the multiplier effect, if it's such a word, of using the seed of faith and multiplying it. So what do you have faith for this morning? Let's take a moment, 10 seconds. Could you respond in your heart, so I have faith for this. Next one.
Remembering before God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and steadfastness and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonian Acacia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonian Acacia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. So that we need not to say anything. I believe that the Lord wants us to trust Him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you really believe Him? As we step out to the water, we see Jesus. We get to experience who he really is. He's not a ghost. He's the author of life. And that we get to be part of all who he is. That life is actually exciting. Because he's in it. And so God wants us, each one of us, to first of all believe that God has a call upon your life. One. Two. To believe that, say, Lord, I don't know how, but I'm willing to step out. And because you believe, Jesus says, come. Remember Peter? Jesus said, I'll make you, Peter, you tried to fish, I'll make you fishers of men. And so God used a fisherman to impact many, many people's churches, everything. Why? Because he believed. It's not my gifting, it's not how polished I am, or it's not about all that stuff, it's about believing Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has got a call upon this church? Do you believe that God wants to impact people? And Lanny has just said a while ago, the Lord said to me, go to Harry's Hardware. Harry was a 6-foot guy. And so I had no idea why. Went there, I know where I was going. Yeah, that small talk, all that stuff. Ran out of small talk. And he starts tapping around because he's got a business to run. And there's people coming in and out. And he's sort of like, apologetically, he's like, oh, sorry, you know, I need to work, kind of thing. And I'm like, I'm not so sure why I am here. But all I knew, God said, I'd be here. So I'm waiting. Standing around, kind of thing. Then to look at the staff, you know. The next thing, this African lady approaches the shop. Now I could see she was really sick. The older lady. And asked the most stupidest question ever. Are you sick? She said, yes. And I said to her, do you know Jesus? No. Do you want to know Jesus?
Yes.
Can I pray for you?
Yes.
I don't know how long she lived after that. But Jesus wanted to rescue her in that moment, in that time. God's got a calling upon our lives, each one of us. Because, let me just say, what we do here has got eternal consequences. This life goes past so quickly. But there's eternal consequences what we do here. And may we step out in faith. So Lord, I don't know how, but I'm willing. Come, step on the water with me. Let me show you how. And what he does, he grows our faith. So we stand, I'm going to pray for us. Lord, we stand here, Lord, and we acknowledge that you are God Almighty. That you are the author of life. That you are the great I am. And you are truly worthy of our worship. For us to be a living sacrifice. Worship to you. An offering to you. And we give our lives to you. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting here, or if you're standing here this morning, you've never given your life. Why don't you say, Lord, I believe in you. I say it's true. and I accept you, Lord, as Lord and Savior into my life. Would you come and have your way in me? I bow my knee before you and I declare that you are my God. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Your life. You're standing here today and you know that God has put his finger upon your heart this morning. And God wants you to respond to him. You know he wants you to respond. But you go, Lord, I don't know how, but here I am. I give you my life. Thank you for the call and the purpose and the eternal value that you want to invest into my life. Here I am. Holy Spirit, would you come and have your way in me? Even now, would you receive the Lord? Yeah. Would you come and have your way in me? I bow my knee before you. So Lord, would you use me in your way? I don't know about you, but I really sense the presence of God.
Yes.
And God's got an appointment with this church, this people here. Would you open your heart? Lay down all preconceived ideas, all the stuff, all the arguments, why not? Look at him, the author of life, who calls you by name. Peter, come. Would you come? Would you step out in the water? Would you believe me? I've got so much for you. Lord, come and have your way. Lord, I pray for us, all of us, that we'll be in pursuit of you. I thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's an absolute honor to be here, and I just, as we were worshiping, God's just been speaking to me, and it's really amazing. This morning in the prayer meeting, I was sitting in the back, and as I was sitting, the sun came through this window, and it just shone in this building. And I felt God say to me, I have favor on this church. I have favor on this church. As the sun came in the window, I felt him say, I have favor on the church. He showed me that the foundations was built well. And he said to me that I build my church. I build my church. And it just gave me this feeling of his love and his adoration for the lampstand that's been put down here. And as Ross was preaching, God gave me a few words for a few people, and I'd like to share them. When someone gives a word, you need to weigh it up. You have to take the word and put it against scripture. You need to take it to your leaders and bring it before your leaders. But I'd like to give, there's only a few people here. I can see the couple that was at the back. I'll find them. I'll leave the guy. I've written them down, so that's what I was doing while Ross was preaching. I was listening. I was. But, so I wrote to the guy with the grey jersey. That's you.
Me.
You. I don't know your name.
Class.
Yes. I saw a picture of you walking, and I saw a picture of you walking in the garden with God. And there's an old hymn that says, I walk in the garden alone while the dew is still in the roses. And I hear his voice, and I write it down. It says, the song is called, I Come to the Garden Alone. And it says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ears is the Son of God disclosing. And I felt God say, as you spend time with him, he will disclose. He will give you the knowledge and the understanding of his word. He will disclose himself to you as you walk with him. And I saw a picture of him holding your hand while you spent time with him. And I felt him say, it's not your ability, it's my ability to speak to you. It's nothing that you can do. It's by faithfully coming into my presence, I will faithfully speak my wisdom, my knowledge, and my understanding to you, so that you will know me and I will be disclosed to you. And then the song goes, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And I felt God just confirm, it's not your past, it's not your history, it's your presence and your future he's concerned about. I mean, it was a young man that was sitting here. I don't know where he's gone. Alex, I'm going to hunt him down just now. As I shared with you, I don't know where Alex is, but I saw God's calling on him. It was quite profound. Who does Alex belong to? Who's Alex's?
No.
You're going to have to give Alex's message, all right? It was quite something. I saw God's hand on him. And God shows me pictures. So I saw God's hand, his calling on Alex. And God's put leadership on him, like Joshua. But the verse God gave me was Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. And it said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I really felt God speak that over his life and those young people. Oh, here he comes. You see him? He doesn't even know what he's walking into.
Start again.
Alex,
start again.
Alex, sir. You're safe. I felt God give me words for different people in the church. And one person God gave me a word for was you. We were worshipping and I looked across at you. Can I put this down?
I am very loud.
No, I can do it louder.
I'm a teacher. I can project my voice. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So as we were worshipping, I looked across at you and I saw God's hand on you. And I saw God put leadership on you. Now, I go into many churches and I see many places. But I felt God say he's putting leadership on you. It's an automatic thing on you. But the verse he gave me was Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. So I'm going to ask a question. Do you know who Joshua is in the Bible? If you don't, you need to go and read up about Joshua. Okay. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Now when God gives you a word like that, you got to be strong and courageous. So in leadership, things come your way that's not always nice or not always fun to be in. But I felt God say, he's speaking this over you right now. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. It's like a promise he gives you to walk into. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I felt God say the things that he's calling you to requires you to spend time in his word. I saw you worshiping before him. And I felt God say it pleases him greatly. It pleases him greatly when you worship. And just to spend time in his presence. And it's like a release of something over your life right now. You might not see it. You might not know what I'm talking about. And that's okay. When someone gives you a prophetic word, you can take it and bank it. You put it down. You say, Lord, I can't see it. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll put it here. Can you reveal more and more of it to me? Okay. I just felt God say, he's called you, and he will reveal it to you as you become older and wiser. The lady in the pink jersey at the back. As we were singing, I felt God say, walk to the back. So I walked to the back. I get to the back and God shows me you and he says to me, breakthrough is coming. So he gave me a psalm, and in Psalm 32 verse 7 it says, the Lord, you are my secret hiding place. protect me from these troubles. Surround me with your song of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue releases my breakthrough. I found God say, as you joyously seek him, he will give you gladness and release breakthrough in the season you are in. But I felt him to encourage you. I felt him to say, tell her, I said, breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is coming. Sometimes we look at a tunnel and we only see darkness. But if we need to sometimes step sideways because a train is coming and the light comes with the train. And I felt God say, breakthrough is coming in every area. So just an encouragement for you. I love the way you worship. My husband's warning me not to step over the mic. Then there was a couple. Thank you. See, what did I say? There's a couple at the back. There was a man and a lady and a guy sitting on the floor. Sorry, what's your name? Peter. Ben. I felt God say that you're an example of a father. I'm going to read it so I don't get it wrong. I felt God say, you're an example of a father, but I am your father. I am your example of a father. I will teach you. I will lead you step by step. I felt God say that sometimes in life we don't have great examples, but he is your example of everything, of everything. And as you train and as you equip your children, I'm assuming you have children because that's what he showed me. You're sitting at the boat and that being a job. But as he trains you and equips you, you will train your children who will have a powerful impact in his kingdom. So I thought God say, the task I've given you is much bigger than you think. You think you're a father to kids. But I found God say, no, you're a father to the next generation that I am building and equipping to reach others in nations. So it's a prophetic word over your children, but a calling for you to spend time with God so that you can equip them and train them for the task that God is calling them for. And I felt him say, I will teach you step by step. He will be so close to you that when you ask him, what do I do now? He will explain and tell you. So just to spend time with him and draw closer to him. Because you are equipping the next generation's leaders and ministers and gospels. The picture he showed me was spectacular. So train him well. That's what I felt. Train them and show them my way and the way I need to go. And then God just gave me a word for your wife, which I think is out to children's ministry. Mm-hmm. I felt him say, I'm going to strengthen her arms. I'm going to strengthen her arms because the kids I've given her are strong. So so the calling he has on their lives is big. So he's given her strong kids. And he's going to strengthen her arms. I saw her standing in the kitchen. She was doing something in the kitchen. Looked like she was baking. That's what it looked like to me. And as she was baking, she was talking to God. And I felt God say, he will, like he showed Mary, he will show her. And she will know what to do with the kids that he's given her. So it's a blessing, an absolute blessing. And I just felt God really want to encourage Solid Ground Church. God is calling you, like Ross said, to step out in faith and walk in the things he's called you to. He's got the most amazing plan. And sometimes my mother-in-law was 74 and she started a knitting group because she, like her son, was a pioneer. So at 74 she decided she should start a knitting group. so that she could share the gospel. She can't knit. She has arthritis in her hands. She knows how to knit, but she can't knit because she has arthritis in her hands. But she felt a knitting group is what God called her to do. So she started a knitting group. And for a few years, it didn't grow. It was very small. But she continued to pray. And every time they get together once a week, she would share the gospel and what God was saying. And they moved it into the Petone Library. And she told the lady at Petone Library, I can bring my knitting group, but I share every week the word. Is that okay? Lady said, yes, it's fine. There are now 15, 16 ladies that get together, and new people that are not Christians keep on joining the group, and they sit through her sharing, and they've given their lives to the Lord. And I felt God say today that you don't look at what's in your hand, not your age. Look at what's in your hand and use that. So just to encourage you.
Guys, we're going to just finish with a song as we always do, and it just gives us a chance to meditate on what God has put forth before us. Some excellent faith-stirring word and some really specific words. So let's stand, let's just, I was going to say, marinate in what God has said, and let